Today, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We've been thinking about what Galatians has to say to us, especially chapter 5. We've been working our way back. We've been thinking about the sinful nature last week and how we need to crucify the sinful nature. But the last time I spoke on the fruit of the Spirit was actually the 7th of May 2003, so last year when we were thinking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I've just copied and pasted my sermon from last year, and you're going to get the same thing again. No, you're not, okay? I never copy and paste my sermons. Hopefully today what I share is fresh and maybe inspires us a wee bit. Because I keep growing in my understanding of God. I keep growing in my understanding of the Word of God. And every time I come back to it, having learned something fresh, I see things in a different way. And one of the things that's really struck me as I've been going through Ephesians is how Paul addresses the church. When he uses the word you, he uses the plural. And in English, we don't have a plural for you. I mentioned that a few weeks ago. Sometimes we say yous, but it's not a word, unless you're saying use, in which case you use something, like I'm using my technology today. So you say you in the singular and the plural, but Paul is talking to the church. When he writes that letter, he's talking to the church. And I'd like us to think about that today as we think about the fruit of the Spirit. And we thought before about the community as being a shared life. And I'm going to put this wee slide up again. A shared life where there is mutual accountability to each other. There is mutual responsibility for each other. There is mutual submission towards each other, and where there's mutual encouragement of the family of God. I want to be part of a community, a church community, where there's that shared accountability, where we keep ourselves accountable to actually, how are you getting on as a Christian, right? I used to ask the young people, years and years ago, we started off leading youth in this church. And I would just, as we were driving home somewhere, or driving in the car, I'd say, so how are you getting on with God? And I'm asking you that question today. So how are you getting on with God? Rhetorical question. Don't all answer at once, okay? But there's that mutual accountability. We encourage each other. We are responsible for each other. And we submit to one another. You know, leadership in church is different from leadership in any other capacity. I'm not going to go into what I've heard in the news this week. But there is a burden upon church leaders to be submissive to God, to the Holy Spirit, and there's that mutual submission to one another. That applies to church leaders as well. And today I want to think a wee bit about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay, think about that last little phrase. The laws that are in our land are there to deal with people who are doing things that are harmful, either to themselves or to other people. So that's the reason that laws exist. Whereas if we are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against it. You can't legislate for somebody loving somebody else. You can't legislate for kindness, can you? And so we're going to think a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit today. I've just put that wee verse up for the time being. But it's not just about us as individuals bearing fruit. We think about this in an individual sense because we are conditioned by our culture to think about ourselves. We live in a very individualistic society, which is probably quite different from it was a number of decades ago. Some of you may be old enough to remember the 40s. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if anybody remembers the 40s, and you think, well, I think back about those years, I wasn't born then, but I look at the way that people lived in the 40s, and it seems to me that there was a greater sense of community, there was a greater sense of family, there was a greater sense of we look out for each other in this place, and I think as we have grown, in one sense, as a society, we have grown distant from each other. There's a sense in which we're probably more connected with people these days in one sense than we've ever been. You pick up your phone, you go on Instagram, you can see what somebody's had for their dinner. Or you see when they're going to their bed. And I'm like, okay, I'll just not go there, okay? I'll not go there. And then there's a sense in which we can be informationally connected to people, but relationally distant. There's something powerful about actually just having a conversation with somebody, about picking up the phone and saying, how are you doing? about when you see somebody in church, you say, how are you getting on with God? And wait for the answer and listen to the answer, because you don't know what you're going to hear when you ask that question. And as I was thinking about Ephesians, I was going through the BibleProject.com study, the classroom stuff on Ephesians. And as we were going through that, I thought when Tim Mackey was talking about the plurality of the church, that interconnectedness, I had this thought about the aspen grove. Does anybody know what an aspen tree is? Do you know? Bet you know what an aspen tree is. Bet's got green fingers. So if you don't know what an aspen tree is, I'm going to show you a little video of aspen trees. I think they are phenomenal trees. So let's just, I know time's marching on, but let's watch this little video. That's the picture that was in my notes a few weeks ago when I said I'm going to come back to that. This is better than David Attenborough. The aspen is also known as Populus tremula. That's its Latin name. I'll come to that in a wee second. And there's a point to me sharing this. There is a point. Aspen trees, when you look at an aspen grove, what you see is like a forest in one sense. You see a collection of trees, but what you don't see is what's happening underneath the soil. And what is peculiar about aspen trees is that they're all connected at a root level. So the aspen grove is a single living organism, generally coming from a single parent root. So one tree, and it begins over time to grow, it puts its roots out, and other trees pop up. The aspen can grow through seeding, it has catkins, but it can also grow from the ground and little shoots come up, and before long you have an aspen grove. And for me, they're just incredible trees. And if these trees were damaged by a forest fire, NASA satellite imagery tells us that when there's a forest fire, the first trees to begin to recover are the aspen trees. I think that's incredible. And I was thinking about this image in relation to the church, in relation to us being connected at a root level from a single parent. Who's our parent? God is our Father. We're connected through the Holy Spirit to God. And I just found it incredible. And did you know that aspens quake? You saw that in the little video, and I kind of pointed out, do you hear it? Do you hear the leaves? Do you hear the leaves? As the wind blows across the leaves, they make this little noise. And it's known as the quaking aspen. And I thought, wow, how much more of an analogy do we need than the church? Rooted and grounded in love, connected to God, connected to each other, but also responsive to the Holy Spirit. The word pneuma and the word ruach, ruach is Old Testament, pneuma is New Testament, the Hebrew and the Greek words that are described used to describe the Holy Spirit, it's like breath. And when the wind comes, the aspen tree responds to the wind. How much more like us when the Spirit comes that we respond to the Holy Spirit? Listen to what this says. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 22. Bear in mind, we're thinking today about the fruit of the Spirit. You will go out with joy. One of the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about, or one of the aspects of the fruit, was joy. And be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. And listen to this. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. As those aspen trees move in the wind and they begin to clap their hands. I'm one of these arty type of people, I suppose, pictorial type of people. I just love the analogies. But you just see the trees praising God. And it's amazing. 1 Chronicles 16:33 says, "Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy." Joy again, the fruit of the Spirit, "before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth." Do you know, there are things happening in our world just now, and you go, when is God ever going to sort this out? Let me just reassure us. God is the judge of the whole earth, and he will bring justice, and he will sort things out in his time. And then to remember that verse that's part of our church heritage, Isaiah 61, verse 3, they will be called oaks of righteousness. So we're away from the aspen to the oak. Apologies, I'm mixing my trees. Oak are very different, big deep tap root. Anyway, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And of course, we know that to remain connected to Jesus, he talks about in John chapter 15, verse 4, about being connected to the vine. And Jesus says this, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain connected. I'm going to add that word in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain connected to me. Jesus is saying these words. We need to stay connected to Jesus. And as we stay connected to Jesus, we are, by virtue of staying connected to him, connected to each other. And we were talking a few weeks ago about keeping in step with the Spirit. It's that image of an army marching in time and in line. And as we keep in connection with him, we keep in connection with each other. If we are truly listening to the Spirit, staying connected, then despite our differences, we will stay connected to each other. And that's a powerful thing. We need to stay connected. We need to remain in, live in, keep going in Jesus, who is our source, who is our life, and through whom we bear fruit. If your life's not bearing fruit as a Christian, guess what? You've lost your connection to the source. And we need to remain connected to the source. And I think we reflect God's image best when we are being fruitful. We thought not last week, because Chris was with us last week, and didn't Chris bring an amazing word? It's phenomenal. And I found myself really challenged by it to pray for the persecuted church all over again. The week before that, we thought about works. And this is how I picture it in my mind. I don't know if it helps you. I think about works as being like mechanical things, like man-made, okay? So this is a mechanical thing. This is man-made, okay? Somebody designed this, somebody made this, I bought this, and it's a mechanical thing. But I use it to control something that's dynamic. I use it to control the presentation that's on the screen. So works, mechanical, man-made, and works can be good or bad, okay? The Bible tells us that God has planned good works, that we should live in them, walk in them, do them, and that's a good thing. But there's also the works of the sinful nature that we thought about just a couple of weeks ago. But God said about people that they should be fruitful, not just to do works that be fruitful. Fruit, I associate fruit with life, I associate fruit with growth, and that, therefore, is God-made. The things that God made grow. We grow. Sometimes we grow old. Sometimes we grow not so much up the way, but out the way. And that's a bit of a challenge. But we're always growing. We can be growing in our understanding. We can be growing in our intellect, growing in all sorts of ways, growing in our ability to listen to the Holy Spirit and to respond, just like the trees with the leaves fluttering in the wind. We can begin to listen to God and respond to him. I think we reflect God's image best when we're bearing fruit. And when Paul talks to the Galatians about spiritual fruit, listen to this. He talks about fruit as singular, suggesting the unified life of Christ, the character that the Holy Spirit produces. And I'm quoting the thing that was up on the screen as I was doing my research during the week. "And this fruit comes in 9 delicious flavors." I had never heard that before. I'm so glad I found netbible.org. I came across this. I'm like, because it always puzzled me that the fruit was singular, and yet there's all these different aspects to it. And I love the way he put it. This fruit comes in 9 delicious flavors. There's something about us when we are being fruitful, when the Holy Spirit lives in us and we're being fruitful and our lives are bearing fruit, people go, wow, I want a wee bit of that. And if we're not bearing fruit and we're reverting back to the works of the sinful nature, people go, oh, I don't want that. It's like that wee guy in Miracle in 34th Street. I don't know if you've seen that film at Christmas time. And this wee guy's in the bench and on the dock, and the lawyer says to him, do you think that guy could be Christmas, Santa Claus? And he's like, no. He says, how not? He says, because that guy's got a grumpy face. Do you know the bit I'm talking about? I watch it every year. It's my favourite Christmas movie. If people are looking at you and you've got a grumpy face, guess what? It doesn't look like you've got the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life. It's like, what is going on with them today? It's like, where's the fruit in that, eh? I'm encouraging us to be fruitful, though. So that when people look at us, they go, I want a part of that. I want a taste of that. And to, the person that I'm referring to, and I was using to help me in my research this week, talks about the fruit of the Spirit in 3 different categories. The first one is mental or Godward qualities. Things like love, which is that self-sacrificing love. Sorry. I'll get there eventually. That love for others. He uses the word affection, but if you go into the Greek, that's a different word. Anyway, but that self-sacrificial love that we can have for other people. Joy, and we've thought about that, even how the trees are joyful. You know, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you know, make an appointment with me and we'll go out into the woods, okay? As a wee group, and we'll hug trees. No, we'll not hug trees, okay? We'll look at trees and we'll go, aren't they amazing? Look at how they glorify God. There's something amazing about them. I draw the line at hugging trees. I've never done that. Well, maybe I did actually, but I think that was because I was falling out of it. That's another story. Love, joy, that deep-seated gladness regardless of our circumstances. Somebody once said, happiness depends on happenings. There's a joy that God puts within us, and it comes through knowing that we're forgiven. It comes through knowing that we're His. It comes through knowing that we've been healed. It comes through God doing things in our lives. There's a peace that the Holy Spirit produces in us, that inner quietness. And a response, regardless of circumstances, that people look at us and they can just go, wow, why are they so at peace despite all the stuff that's happening in life? And then he talks about interpersonal or other word qualities, patience, forbearance under provocation. You need somebody else to be patient with, don't you? The people in our families, when they rub us up the wrong way. And we need to be patient with them. When we want to just go, see if I could get my hands in you. Lay hands in it. Or fivefold ministry, yeah, as they talk about in Ephesians 4. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the fivefold ministry, to prepare God's people for works of service. But I think the reason he calls them interpersonal or other words is because it's when other people are around us that we need to be patient. You know, sometimes I need to be patient with myself. I annoy myself sometimes. Don't know about you. I bug the absolute happiness out of myself. And I need to be patient with myself. But generally, there are people around us and we need to be patient with other people. And that's what's amazing about this little forest of aspens called Whitburn Pentecostal Church, all connected at a root level, connected to Him, the parent. And as we go along, we need to be patient with each other. Yeah? Somebody once talked about a T-shirt that said, extra grace required. You know, some of us maybe need to get those T-shirts and say, extra grace required, just to remind everybody else, it's like, I'm kind of needing a wee bit of patience here from you. Kindness, that benevolence and graciousness. And we need other people to show kindness too. Well, we could probably be kind to ourselves, but we're all quite good at that anyway. Eh? Looking after ourselves. Who all had their breakfast this morning? Who all had their cup of tea this morning, or their coffee, or their fruit juice, or whatever it is you have in the morning? You look after yourself. You're kind to yourself. Sometimes we're too kind to ourselves. Goodness, the sixth one that's mentioned here, that constructive action reaching out to others. Goodness is something that we do. And then the last category is that general or selfward qualities, faithfulness. And we've thought in the church recently about faithfulness being like trusting God. And I just love that. I was really challenged by somebody last year as I heard them talking about thinking about where we read faith in the Bible, to read in trust and say, well, how are we actually putting that into practice? It's an inner determination to keep going. Faithfulness. And I just feel today there's a call to this church for this year, for right now, to trust in God. Trust God. Trust what God is saying into the life of this church. Trust the Lord. And it's obvious, we kind of think it's obvious anyway, to trust God. It's obvious we need to trust God. But we need to trust other people, the people around us. And I've talked about how we're multifaceted. We're all different. And sometimes we rub each other up the wrong way, and we need to be patient. But actually, our difference brings strength. Connected at a root level, but our difference brings strength. I know for a fact I do not have all the gifts and skills and talents and whatever to lead this church. It needs a team. And we need to be in this together. And with that, I would say trust that as leaders, we are prayerfully endeavoring to move the church forward into what God has planned for us. That faithfulness to keep going, to keep turning up. We were at the opening of the new building in Hamilton for Hamilton Harvest Church in Hamilton, Assemblies of God. And they have a fab new building. It's amazing. And one of the elders got up and he said, he quoted Woody Allen. And I'm going to quote it again today. He says, 90% of success is just turning up. I'm going to reiterate what Chris said last week. I didn't ask him to say that. He said, just keep coming, keep turning up. It's part of our worship to God, but it's part of us staying connected to each other. Keep turning up, stay faithful, and faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit working in us. If we have that fruit, if we have the Spirit working in us, it will produce fruit if we remain connected. Gentleness. Even with people that we don't want to be gentle with. Even when people are not gentle to us. And we thought last week about the persecuted church. To exhibit gentleness in those circumstances. Let me say, if it was me, I would need the Holy Spirit to be producing that fruit in me. Because I don't think I'd want to be very gentle in response to that. Then lastly, self-control, the ability to master one's self. A fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes we struggle with self-control. Maybe it's getting back to the biscuit tin, which we all think we're going to deal with in January. And now we're at the 28th of January, we've realized that the biscuit tin's won. Let me just tell you something. My biscuit tin has won. Self-control. I've had more biscuits than bike rides, and that's a problem. But it's a fruit of the Spirit working in us. And there's another way to punctuate this, as I learned through just reading this week. And there's another way to look at it. Love, and then a colon, and then these eight words, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as different facets of love. And if you read the New Testament, you see that the thing that Paul went on about all the time was about unity in the church. You guys need to get yourself sorted out, he would say. Get yourself united. Get yourself together. And love each other. And there's a sense in which you can translate what's been written here by Paul as different ways to express love to each other, to have that love. And we know how important Paul thinks love is. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, often quoted at weddings, but it's actually talking about how we put our faith into practice. As we connect to Christ, we connect with each other. And we're not meant to be standing out there all alone. By contrast to the aspen grove. This is a solitary birch tree on a hillside not too far from here. It's up in Deneira Estate, And it's not as good as the pictures that were on earlier. That's one of my pictures. But it was taken with a long lens from a very great distance. But I saw this tree and I thought, there it is, up on the hill, all on its own. And to quote Donkey from Shrek, I'm all alone. There's no one here beside me. If you've seen that film. If you've not seen it, watch it. It's funny. God never called us to exist as individual Christians, separated from the church, planted away up on a hill somewhere, all on our own. God created us to live as a church in community. We are meant to be connected at root level, which is why I love the Aspen Grove. We're meant to be connected to each other, not solitary Christians out on the hillside saying, woe is me, the wind's up again, I'm going to lose my leaves. And if you look at that tree, and I hadn't thought about it until now, it's in beside the rocks. It's lucky to survive there, rather than being somewhere intentionally planted. God, and I remember being struck by this, Dion, you remember, we went to a conference called Words, Works and Wonders. And for the first time, I think I'd saw that verse in the Psalms where it says, God sets the lonely in families. And I feel that God wants to say something to some people in here today. You are part of this family. If you're here, you're part of this family. You're valued, you're loved, you're accepted for who you are, and you're part of this family. You're not like that wee birch tree out in the hill anymore. Come in. As they say in Glasgow, come away in. Would you like a cup of tea and a digestive? Come in. This is your home. This is your family. And we reflect God's image best when we're being fruitful and we're connected together. Us corporately filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not just about you as an individual being fruitful. It's about us as a church being fruitful. And that when people look at this church, they go, something's happening there. There's a fruitfulness there. And it's not just about other people. It's about a declaration to the heavenlies. Paul talked about that. The manifold wisdom of God has been demonstrated to the heavenly forces through the church, through what God has done in us and is doing through us. And God's work is accomplished there. Oaks of righteousness for the display of his splendor. I want to encourage you to keep resisting the devil, to keep resisting sin and the power that is at work around us sometimes. We're told to crucify that sinful nature and to allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow within us, By contrast, our job was just to yield to God and say, here I am. Sorry, I feel that donkey line coming back on again from Shrek. Have you seen it? Oh, pick me. To yield to the Spirit and be that one who says, pick me. Whom will I send, God said. And Isaiah was there. He's like, I don't think I'm really worthy, but I'm happy to go. Pick me. We need to yield to the Spirit. But also, we need to yield to the seasons. We all go through different seasons in life. And in this room today, there are people who are experiencing different seasons. We look outside, and there's no leaves in the trees, and we know we're in winter. And we're all in winter together. But metaphorically speaking, we are in different seasons. People in here are at different places. And we need other people to come alongside us and encourage us. But recognize the season you're in. Sometimes we can't change the season we're in. All we can do is keep trusting God in the season. And I think I'm almost finished. I want to show one last picture. And I just felt, I came across this picture during the week when I was looking at these aspen trees. And I've not sought permission to use this picture, so don't copy it. If you're online, don't copy it, okay? Because it is actually somebody's picture that they sell online. But I just saw it, and I was really captivated by it. And I thought, wow, it's a stunning picture. So at the first glance, I'm looking at a picture. And then I read what this chap had said about the picture. And it says this, that somewhere, something in it happened when these trees were in their infancy, that led to this shape. It may have been an avalanche or heavy snowpack during their early years. But whatever it was, it's affected their shape, but it's not stunted their growth. And he says, in this picture, you see the determination of these unique aspen trees in Colorado to persevere through every season. And as I read that, I really felt the Holy Spirit just say something into my spirit. And we've already touched on this today. Earlier on when we were worshiping, there was that message in tongues and the interpretation. We've already touched on this, and I just felt that God wanted to highlight in our understanding today. There are people in here today, and there have been things which happened at the formative stages of your life which you had no control over, and they've affected your shape. But they don't need to stop your growth. They don't need to stop your growth. Things that have happened to you when you were young, and you think, I wish that never happened to me. I look a wee bit different from all the other trees. Do you feel like that today? Do you feel as you look at your life, you think, I look a wee bit different from all the other trees? I struggled with that for many years. I struggled with that before I came into being a pastor in the church, thinking, I'm not like these people. I can't do this. And God said, I'm not asking you to be like everybody else. I'm asking you to be the person that I'm calling you to be, yourself, with me working in you. And here we are all these years later. The things that happened in your past might have affected your shape because life's circumstances have consequences, but it does not need to stunt your growth. And if there's anything that I would say about this picture, is that that misshapenness makes them more interesting. Our uniqueness as individuals makes us interesting. God's interested in our uniqueness. And God can bring healing where that healing needs to come. But I wanted to encourage us not to be stunted in our growth, regardless of our shape. God has made us uniquely. God has been with us. God has been with you as you've went through life and as you've experienced things. And some people need to know that. God has never left you. He's been there, and you're here today for a reason and for a purpose. Father, we thank you today. We thank you just for your presence in this room today, for your presence in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that you've called us as a church family to be connected to you and to each other. And Father, we want to really strive to be the family of God in this location. Lord, we're in Whitburn, but Lord, we serve many communities around Whitburn as well, because we all come from different places. And so, Father, help us to serve the communities that we represent today. And Father, we just think as well how we are all unique. And Father, we pray, help us to recognize just how unique we are. And Father, that regardless of our shape, regardless of what's happened in our past, that you can cause us to grow and cause us to flourish and cause us to be fruit-bearing. And so, Lord, help us to yield to you. Help us to yield to the Spirit. Help us to yield to the season that we find ourselves in. Lord, some of us are in a difficult place. We're in a difficult season. There are challenges. But, Lord, we pray, help us in the midst of the challenges to stay connected to Jesus. Father, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, help us to continue to walk with you, keeping in step with the Spirit and keeping in step with each other, Father. Lord, help us not to be trying to run too fast. Help us not to lag behind either. And so, Lord, we just pray today, bless us as we go from this place. Lord, we pray blessing. We speak wholeness over every family, your shalom, over every house, every home that's represented here in the building and online today. Father, we know that there are needs, there are those who need healing, and Father, we pray that you just minister those gifts of healing into the church. Father, we pray again for power gifts to be manifest in the church, that your church might be built up. Lord, bless us as we share tea and coffee together and fellowship and chat. Father, bless the membership class and bless the movie night. Father, we pray that you'd just be present in these things too and speak to us. And just Draw us closer to yourself. And everything we do, Father, we just want to just glorify Jesus. We want to just say, Jesus, you're the best. You're number one. And we want to make your name famous. So Lord, just bless us today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.